Vous écoutez Carnet d'expérience, un balado produit par Vertical Centre d'artistes. Dans cette troisième saison, les œuvres présentées dans les épisodes sont réunies sous la thématique fermentation, science et fiction.
My name is Karen Elaine Spencer. And my project is called Walking with Cohen. And then there's actually a hyphen that has Walking with Robinson. But the project at Vertical is called Walking with Cohen. And it is classified as an infiltration work. The work started in May of 2022. I guess the idea of exploring, but I also had the idea of walking as... I guess I was curious if it could just be walking, like if I didn't have to do anything else. I thought I could just walk. And so that's what I did. I walked and sort of discovered Laval, but very, like, limited.
En plus d'encourager des processus de création qui se développent dans la lenteur, ce thème invitait aussi les artistes à porter leur attention sur l'invisible, sur les actions qui se produisent dans les profondeurs de la matière et qui, par nature, s'avèrent difficiles à décrire. Comme c'est le cas dans la fermentation, avec les mouvements, presque imperceptibles, qui agitent la matière organique et la transforment. L'œuvre « Walking with Cohen » de Karen Elaine Spencer peut être envisagée à travers ce spectre du mouvement invisible et transformateur. L'artiste travaille dans la ville et à partir d'elle pour altérer discrètement les êtres vivants qui l'habitent. En s'attardant plus particulièrement dans les lieux de passage et les espaces de rupture du territoire urbain, elle s'est longuement maintenue dans une disposition mentale dont la nature indéterminée questionnait son expérience et sa capacité à la communiquer.
And then at a certain point, I began to wear the cardboard sandwich board, which had a fragment of a text from Leonard Cohen's song, which he wrote with Sharon Robinson, and that's why there's the two names, called Everybody Knows. And they've both sung it. And it's both on YouTube, if you want to check Sharon Robinson's out, because it's actually quite beautiful. So the phrase that I used for this particular project, or this particular iteration of the Walking with Cohen / Walking with Robinson project was, that's how it goes, everybody knows. Everybody Knows is a song that is probably known for its social commentary. In that it's like everybody knows that the boat is leaking, everybody knows that the captain lied, everybody's got this broken feeling like their father or their dog just died. And it goes on in that sort of way. So there was things that were incredible about walking in this area that I didn't know, sort of with the intentionality of this song, which comes from this idea of grief or loss. Leonard Cohen went to a school that was very close to us, and my partner was Jewish, and Leonard Cohen was Jewish, and my partner was a poet, and Leonard Cohen was a poet, and my partner was a songwriter, and Leonard Cohen was a songwriter. But you would never know about a partner because he's not Leonard Cohen. And so Leonard Cohen became this figure who was part of our everyday. So then when my partner died, it became very personal, and I had this feeling that it was speaking to my partner in this sort of strange way, and that was sort of like how it all started. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really know what I was going to do, I don't think, at Vertical. And so I just started walking with the sign. And without the sign. Like, the sign became less important. Cohen became less important. Because I had this incredible sense of time. It allowed me to really feel like I could slowly get to know the space. When Montreal changed the systems of the metro, I started getting off in Montreal and crossing the bridge. And then it became clear that it was actually this idea of the river and crossing the river. I was actually really surprised by where I went in Laval with this project. I was attracted to the river and also this other space that I called the magic place, which is up the Laurentides Boulevard and then a little bit to the east. And it's the end of the river, it sort of curves around, and there's this little park there, and it's just incredible as this sort of hidden little space that's right in the center of the city that is very unused. But I was really surprised that I was going there, because I didn't think that's where the project was going to take me, but it did. Most of my work comes from intuition, but also I really have to listen. One of the things that I learned the most is to try to not get in the way of my own work, and that's, I guess, what I mean by listening, is that I try really hard to not direct the work, but to let the work direct me through the process. Part of the work is trying to open up a little space where it's okay to share the solitude and this grief and our very individual pain, but that we all encounter if we live long enough. How to image that in a way that is true, and also that is not so dark that it frightens or scares people. Sometimes I wonder if my work is too dark. So it's nice to hear that sometimes people perceive it as opposite. So that's good to know. So at some point, I put Laval as the underworld, as this world that was the world that we go to after we die. And in my imagination, that became really strong. And so that's what I was doing. I was when I was going to Laval, I was going to the underworld. And so I was walking in this, because you have to cross the bridge, or you have to go under the, and so the river became the River Styx. That actually was right at the very beginning, but I didn't know that it was going to be, like, so pervasive. And I don't know, maybe I was looking, like, I went to different metros, and I would walk and just kind of find my way back. And then for a while I was going over the railway bridge, which was really nice. And then we started getting kicked off the metro at Henri Bourassa. If you didn't have your transfert ABCD. So I was like, oh, this is perfect, because you're not really allowed to go into the underworld either as a lie when you're alive. It's like forbidden. So I took that as like, okay, I'm going to walk over the bridge. And then that really sort of located where I was going to be walking and what I was going to be doing. I don't actually remember when I had the idea that I wanted to take people into this underworld. And so that's what I'm doing, and that's what I'm still doing. So I invite a person, and we go and we walk over the bridge, and they, at a certain point, they walk backwards, and I walk backwards protecting them, so that. And then there's this other series of, like, actions that are sort of disorienting, so that we can orient ourselves towards something else. So eventually it became, like, a trajectory. And now it's a real trajectory. Like, it's certain places where we do certain things, and I take you to certain places to do certain things, and then we come back. And I read poetry. Two times. So we stop under the bridge, and you know, it's about looking back at what we've left, but we're still in the liminal space. We haven't actually entered, and so I read something by Wes Harman, who's, they're a poet and an artist, and the poem talks a bit about the sort of liminal space of being on the shore between two things. And then we walk and we go to a vacant lot, and we do something there, and then we go to the tilted telephone pole. And I read a poem to the telephone pole. Then we go to what I call the magic place, which is this little wild area where the water comes in, and where there's a water treatment plant, and there's the park there. You've probably seen it. And it's just, there's turtles, and there's birds, and there's marmots, and there's... it's just this very not urban place within an urban setting. And we go there and we sit and we eat an orange, of course. Then we go to the metro. And partially that's because there's a bathroom there as well. But also the coming and going of people is very theatrical. Very nice, actually. And then we walk back over there and go down to the river again, because while we're crossing over the bridge, we throw away what we don't want on the other side, as if we were dead. But before we go back, we can pick anything that we want to pick up again, and we can also ask if we can, if there's something on that side that we want to take over with us, we ask for that. And I just thank the other side for allowing me to come back one more time to bring this. And then we walk back and recite the poem again, and that's about it. And there's touch too, like when we're going over the bridge, there's a part of the bridge where, due to the way it's constructed, there's like these metal little dips between the sidewalk slabs. And so I like touch them on the shoulder to let them know that they're coming to this part. And then when it ends, I sort of like gently guide them down the hill. We hold hands when we twirl. Also because I really, like, some people have worn the sign, and so I have to make sure, because the sidewalk is really narrow, so they have to go on this side, so I have to keep them safe, so we're pretty close. And also just crossing the street, because I feel like I'm disorienting them a little, so I like make sure I like we hold hands while we cross the street, or almost hold hands depending on the person. But so it's really kind of intimate in that sort of way too. Fait comme 12 personnes pendant 3 mois. Donc je veux dès que je peux garder cet esprit, je veux continuer. Parce que ça me donne, chaque personne me donne beaucoup de choses aussi. Ce n'est pas comme one way. C'est vraiment comme un échange. Yeah, so I'm trying to use our body to take us, like, so the, like, everything that we do with our body in that performance is a way of reinforcing something that I'm trying to put into our heads. Est-ce que tu te souviens que sur le pont, il y a des petites espaces pour arrêter? Donc, on arrête à la première, puis on... So this is another, so when you're with your child, when they're young and they're throwing everything off their high chair or their playpen, it actually helps us to establish distance and time. And so that's, so we do the same gesture when we're lightening ourselves so that we can go to the other side. With all these things that life has that we don't really want or we don't really need, or like it could be a memory, it could be a douleur, it could be a wish that was never fulfilled but you're still caring. So we get rid of them. So there's that like body thing of like throwing, so that our mind will go, oh, okay, I really am getting rid of this. And then we walk backwards. So first we lighten ourselves, and then we head back. There's something for me really powerful in being the person who is behind the person who's walking backwards. So I'm looking at somebody's back as they're walking backwards. And I'm like really close behind them because I need to be able to reach their shoulder to let them know that. But I'm also like looking this way to make sure that there's no people coming, or there's no, like, there's no glass, or there's nothing that's going to interfere with this person's trajectory, because they are focused on leaving. For some reason, I find it the most beautiful experience that I get to do, that I get to hold and keep this person safe while they're walking back over this sometimes noisy bridge, and there's the river that's going underneath, and it's like this expanse of openness, and then this vulnerable person who's my job to like assist. I feel like this is my life's work. I feel like everything that I've been working towards has really come out in this walk. But it's really impractical because I also want to give the person the feeling that all time is for them. And so I ask for your cell phone, so we have no idea what time it is. So you have to like give 2 to 3, and sometimes 4, it's gone on that long, hours to this being in this other space where you don't have access to the world as we know it. There's not like a lot of conversation, it's actually a lot of silence. And it's almost like nothing can break it. Like, somebody said to me, like, is it okay if we talk about something else? And I was like, everything that happens here is is part of it. There is no outside almost when you're there. Because it's just like a little twist. But that twist is huge, what it does.
Vous venez d'entendre le deuxième épisode de la saison 3 de Carnet d'expérience, le balado produit par Vertical Centre d'artistes. Avec Carnet d'expérience, le Centre explore le format balado pour faire connaître des œuvres qui sortent des formes et des espaces traditionnels et pour donner place au discours que les artistes produisent sur leur travail. La co-réalisation de la série est assurée par les artistes Alexis Bellavance et Frédéric Lavoie, qui font toutes les entrevues et les captations, en plus du montage, de la sonorisation et des habillages sonores. L'appui à la coordination, la rédaction des textes et la narration est faite par moi-même, Gabrielle Desgagnés-Duclos, en tant que coordonnatrice à la programmation du Centre. L'équipe de Vertical est composée de Charlotte Panachiou-Letendre à la direction générale et artistique, Laurence Hague à la coordination administrative et Émilie Bernard à la coordination des communications. Vertical remercie les artistes pour leur collaboration et leur travail. Ce projet est réalisé grâce au soutien financier du gouvernement du Québec et de la Ville de Laval dans le cadre de l'entente de développement culturel. Vertical est soutenu au fonctionnement par la Ville de Laval et le Conseil des arts et des lettres du Québec.